This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you all doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna 'ilma. Do you all have the sheet with you that was given yesterday? Whoever doesn't have it may raise their hand so that they can be given a copy. So what do you see on this sheet? The stages, okay? Stages of what? When? Of the Day of Judgment. Basically, this is an overview of the major events that will occur on the Day of Judgment, the various stages that every person has to go through, depending on their iman, depending on their level of deeds. And they'll have to go through these stages in order to reach their final destination. So today, inshallah, we will go over this entire sheet, step by step. And you are already familiar with all of this. Because alhamdulillah, this is mentioned in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And alhamdulillah, most of you have studied the Qur'an cover to cover. So this is something that you are already familiar with. However, we know about the mizan, we know about, for instance, the sirat, but exactly what will happen when, this is also important for us to know. So it all begins with ad-dunya, the world. Whoever comes in this world, whoever lives through this world, whoever is tested in this world, obviously, they have the akhirah to face where they will be given the consequences, the results of their deeds. So ad-dunya. After dunya is al-qabr, the grave. And the grave is the first stage from the stages of the akhirah. It is either a pit of fire for the disbeliever and hypocrite or a garden of Jannah for the believer. Each person will be tested in the grave. He will be asked certain questions. For correct answers, a gate to Jannah will be opened. And for incorrect answers, a gate to hellfire will be opened. Sinful people will be punished in the grave because of the sins that they have committed, and the righteous, the obedient, will be rewarded with pleasure and blessings in the grave. The next step is an-nafkh fi sur, the blowing of the trumpet. And this will mark the beginning of the Day of Judgment. The sur, the trumpet, what is it? It is a huge horn. A huge horn. A trumpet on which Israfil has placed his mouth right now. Meaning he's just waiting to receive the orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to blow the trumpet. And the trumpet will be blown two times. The first time that the sur will be blown into, it will cause fazar, extreme terror, extreme fear. So all those who are alive, what will happen to them? They will die. And then after a period of 50, how much is that 50? 50 days, 50 hours, 50 years, 50 centuries? Allahu a'lam. After a period of 50, the trumpet will be blown a second time. And then everyone shall wake up. All people shall rise. And then resurrection, meaning al-barth, will take place. What is al-barth? Al-barth is basically when the dead will be brought back to life. And in the Quran, over and over again, we learn about the resurrection. And if you notice over here, the mu'min, the kafir, the munafiq, everyone is here together. And the munafiq, his arrow is not visible on this sheet. Why? Because in this world, the munafiq is mixed with the believer, amongst the believers, meaning he's not known separately, meaning he's hidden within them, because he hides his reality from the people. So up until the time of resurrection, okay, a munafiq may be with who? With the rest of the people. And also after that, until intercession, hisab, and then later on, we see that people will be separated. So resurrection will take place. How will resurrection take place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a rain that will cause the bodies of the dead to grow. Literally, bodies will grow, just like plants grow. And even if a person's body has disintegrated into the earth and nothing of it remains, even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause the entire body to grow. From even the smallest piece of backbone that remains. From that, the entire body will grow. People will come in the plain of Hashr. How? Bare body, bare feet, uncircumcised. And people will be able to see the angels as well as the jinn. Because, وَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ hadid. People will be able to see. And each person will be raised performing his last action. The last action on which he died. For example, a muhrim, the person who died in the state of ihram, he will rise up, he will be resurrected, while he will be saying the talbiyah. The shaheed, the one who was killed in the way of Allah, he will come with blood flowing from his body. And the ghafil people, people who are heedless and negligent, they will rise, how? While they are still heedless and negligent. And then all people will be taken to al-hashr, the place of gathering. Over here, hashr is not mentioned separately. Because from ba'ath, shafa'a, hisab, all of this is taking place where? In al-hashr. Al-hashr, the great gathering, in fact, the greatest gathering, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the entire creation. For what purpose? For the purpose of hisab. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And the length of this day is 50,000 earth years. And people will be scared as if they are intoxicated. No one will be able to look at another. And the time on earth will seem like an hour. The time that people spent in the earth will seem like part of a day. The sun will draw near, only to be at a distance of 1 meal, and people will drown in their sweat according to their deeds. The leaders will argue, will dispute with their followers. The followers will argue with their leaders. The arrogant and weak will dispute with one another. The mushrikeen will dispute with their idols. The kafir will dispute with his shaitan, with the qareen. He will even dispute with his own limbs, with his own body. The zalim will bite at his hands, and he will wish that he had not taken a certain person as his friend. At this place, hell will be brought in 70,000 leashes, each leash being pulled by 70,000 angels. And a neck will stretch out from the fire. A neck will stretch forth from hell, having two eyes, having two ears, a tongue. And it will say, I have been appointed to take care of three types of people. Every arrogant and tyrant, every person who called upon other than Allah, and all those who make pictures. The kafir will wish at this if he could ransom himself, or if he could be turned back into dust. And those who believe, but they committed sins, what will their state be in the gathering of hashr? We learn that those who don't give zakat will be tormented with the wealth that they hoarded. Their gold and silver will be heated and they'll be branded with it. Their wealth will take the form of a snake wrapped around their neck, biting on their face. Those who eat a lot will be hungry on that day. The arrogant will be brought in the form of ants. And the one who conceals knowledge will be bridled with fire. The treacherous and disobedient will be humiliated. The betrayer will be exposed. The thief will bring what he stole. Some will carry an animal. Another will carry a cloth. Another person will be carrying gold. And the stolen object will announce that I was stolen. So and so stole me. The one who forgot Allah's dhikr and turned away will come blind. Hidden things, hidden matters will be exposed. The rich beggar will come with a disfigured face. The one who spits towards the qibla will come with the spit between his eyes. Allah will not even look at certain people. Those who deny extra water, who don't share even the extra water that they have, those who swear false oaths just to sell something, and the person who, after swearing allegiance to a leader, remains loyal only if he receives something in return. Allah will not look at such people. He will not even speak to them. He will not purify them. Likewise, an old man who commits zina, or the one who tells lies, the one who is in a position of leadership, a king, yet he tells lies. A poor person who is arrogant, a man who is arrogant, a person who disobeys his parents, a woman who imitates men, as well as a dayus. Who is a dayus? Someone who doesn't have any haya. A person who has anal intercourse, the one who drags his garment out of pride, and the one who reminds others of favors. All such people Allah will not even look at them, nor will He speak to them. Those who oppress others will be in darkness, because الظُّلْمُ ظُلُمَاتِ on the Day of Judgment. But the muttaqeen, those people who have taqwa, what will their state be? They will find shade under their charity. A believer will find shade under his charity. Some people will be under the shade of Allah. They will be given shade under Allah's throne. Who? Those who love each other for the sake of Allah. A just ruler. The one who gives charity from his right hand, such that his left hand even does not find out. And from hadith we also learn about other people who will be given shade under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this long day of 50,000 years, for the muttaqi, the entire duration will be like the sun beginning to decline until it sets. This is how this entire day will seem for the believer. And with the length of this day, as people are exhausted, what will happen? They will run to their prophet. They will run, first of all, to their father, Adam alayhi salam, requesting him to intercede, to ask Allah to begin the judgment. And this is where ash-shafa'a, the intercession, will take place. And which shafa'a is this? Shafa'atul kubra. It is mentioned in hadith Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I will be the leader of mankind on the day of resurrection. Do you know why that is? Allah will gather the first and the last people all in one arena, in one area. And they will all be seen and they will all hear the call of the caller. The sun will be brought close to them and the people will suffer unbearable distress and grief. The people will say, do you not see the state you are in and how bad it is? Why don't you look for someone who will intercede for you with your Lord? And the people will say to one another, your father Adam. So they will go to him and say, O Adam, you are the father of mankind. Allah created you with His hand and breathed into you the soul. He commanded the angels to prostrate to you and He caused you to dwell in paradise. Why do you not intercede for us with your Lord? Do you not see the state we are in and how bad it is? He will say, my Lord is angry today in a way that He has never been before and never will be again. He forbade me to eat from the tree and I disobeyed Him. Myself, myself, myself. Go to someone else. Go to Nuh. So they will all go to Nuh alayhi salam. And they will say, O Nuh, you were the first of the messengers to the people of the earth, and Allah created you a grateful slave, Abdan Shakura. Do you not see the state we are in and how bad it is? Why do you not intercede for us with your Lord? He will say, my Lord is angry today in a way that He has never been before and never will be again. I had one supplication and I prayed against my people. Myself, myself, myself. Go to someone else. Go to Ibrahim. So they will go to Ibrahim and will say, you are the prophet of Allah, His close friend, His Khalil among the people of the earth. Intercede for us with your Lord. Do you not see the state we are in? He will say to them, my Lord is angry today in a way that He has never been before and never will be again. And I told three lies, which He will mention. He will say, myself, myself, myself. Go to someone else. Go to Musa. So they will go to Musa alayhi salam and will say, you are the messenger of Allah and He favored you above the people by sending you and speaking to you. Intercede for us with your Lord. Do you not see the state we are in? He will say to them, my Lord is angry today in a way that He has never been before and never will be again. And I killed a soul whom I had not been commanded to kill. Myself, myself, myself. Go to someone else. Go to Isa alayhi salam. So they will come to Isa alayhi salam and will say, O Isa, you are the messenger of Allah and His word which He bestowed on Maryam and a spirit created by Him. And you spoke to the people in the cradle. Intercede for us with your Lord. Do you not see the state we are in? Isa alayhi salam will say to them, my Lord is angry today in a way that He has never been before and never will be again. And He will not mention any sin. But He will say, nafsi, 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 myself, 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 go to someone else, go to Muhammad. So they will come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. Allah forgave you all your past and future sins. Intercede for us with your Lord. Do you not see the state we are in? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will set out and come beneath the throne, where I will fall down prostrating to my Lord. Then Allah will inspire me to praise Him in a way that no one before me was ever inspired. Then it will be said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, raise your head, ask and you will be given, intercede and your intercession will be accepted. So I will raise my head and say, My Ummah, O Lord, My Ummah, O Lord, My Ummah, O Lord. And the Prophet ﷺ will be told to take his people into Jannah. And basically, what this means is that now get ready for the purpose of Hisab. And this is Shafa'atul Kubra, the greatest, the biggest intercession, because of which the Hisab will begin. And remember that this is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after this, what will happen for people to go to Jannah? Firstly, hisab has to happen. Yes, there will be some people, 70,000 people, who will skip the step of hisab, who will skip it completely, and they'll be taken where? To bighayri hisab means that they will just skip the questioning, just the reckoning. In the Quran we learn, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. The entire arena will be prepared for hisab. How? The books will be placed. The witnesses will be brought. The records will be brought. And the people will be brought in rows, صَفَّا, as well as in groups, because each person will be with the one whom he loves. People will be with their ummah, and people will be with their prophet. Allah will show them their deeds, and Allah will question the people. A believer will be questioned in private. He will be made to acknowledge his sins, and he will admit. The kafir, the munafiq, he will also be questioned. But this questioning, this hisab, will be for the purpose of reproach. Like for example, in the Quran we learn, they will be asked, أَيْنَ شُرَكَائِي? Where are my shuraka, الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ? Those whom you used to claim. They will be asked, مَاذَا أَجَبْتُمُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ? What is it that you responded to the prophets? Meaning, how did you respond to them? And hisab will take place. And hisab, it will take place with perfect justice. Meaning, no person will be held accountable and dhulm will be done to him. No, it will be absolute justice. وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. You will not be wronged even a little bit. And each person will be responsible for himself, because وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. And people will be shown what they have done. Their deeds will be displayed to them. Good deeds will be multiplied. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. And sins will not be multiplied. Testimony, witnesses will be taken. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Who will come as witnesses? People, their bodies, the earth will witness, the night will witness, the day will witness. People's property, that will testify. Angels will testify. The organs of the body will testify. Against who? Against man that day. People will be asked many questions. They will be asked about who they worshipped, what they worshipped. They will be asked about what they did, what they enjoyed, the promises they made, the hearing, the sight, the heart they were given. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Scores will be settled, disputes will be settled. Which kind of disputes? Over bloodshed. If a person had abused another, that will be resolved. If a person had insulted or slandered another, justice will be established. If a person took the property of another unlawfully, justice will be established. If a person hit another, justice will be established. If a person owed someone money, justice will be established. So much so that justice will even be established between animals. And then the animals will be turned to dust. The first ummah to be questioned will be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the first question will be about salah. And the first settlement will be of bloodshed. And then after this hisab, what will happen? Tatayyurus suhuf, the book of deeds. The books will be given, meaning each person will be handed his record. The record will be displayed. And in this record, a person will find everything he did. His life story. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find whatever they had done present. Every little and every big deed. A believer will receive his record in his right hand. And a kafir, a munafiq, will receive his book in his left hand. Then the next is al-mizan, the scale. People's deeds are going to be weighed. They will be weighed. Their records will be weighed. And this mizan is a real scale. It's not a metaphor for justice. It is al-mizan. It's a real actual scale that is huge. So huge that it will weigh everything. Everything. Even the size of Mount Uhud. If a person has, you know, performed a good deed that size even, it will weigh it. And this scale will weigh every little and big deed that will be placed on it. Because it's very fine, a very accurate scale. And this scale has two sides to it. The good deeds will be placed on one side. And the sins will be placed on the other side. Which means that the weight of good deeds will be compared with the weight of the bad deeds. Deeds that are performed for the pleasure of Allah alone shall be assigned weight. Like for example, La ilaha illallah. For example, Alhamdulillah, kalimatu dhikr. Likewise, akhlaq, that is good, that will also be heavy in weight. And on one side, good deeds will be placed, on the other side, sins will be placed. Why? So that absolute justice is established that day. Even the kuffar, they will be brought to the mizan, as you can see. They will be brought to the mizan. And what will happen? From there, because their deeds will carry no weight, they will be sent straight to the fire of hell. And the believers, they will be taken to the hawd. All people who will go through this mizan, what will happen? They will be taken to the hawd. Believers will arrive at hawd, and every prophet will have a hawd. The largest hawd will be of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever drinks from the water of this hawd once will never be thirsty again. The water of this hold is whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, more fragrant than musk, colder than ice. Its cups like stars, its length and width a month's journey. Its source, the river of Kawthar. However, some people will be stopped. They will not be allowed to proceed. They will not be allowed to arrive at the hold and drink from its water. The Prophet ﷺ said, "While I will be standing at the hold, a group of people will come. And when I recognize them, someone will come and stand between me and them. And he will say, 'Let's go.'" Meaning he will say this to the people whom I will recognize who were coming to me. He will say to them, "Let's go from here." The Prophet ﷺ said, "I will ask him, 'Where to?'" Meaning, where are you taking them? He will say, "To the fire, by Allah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "I will say, 'What is wrong with them?'" He will say, "They became apostate and turned on their heels." Then another group will come. And when I would recognize them, a man will come and stand between me and them. He will say, "Let's go." I will say, "Where to?" He will say, "To the fire, by Allah." I will say, "What is wrong with them?" He will say, "They became apostate and turned on their heels. And I will not see anybody saved from among them, except a few." In another hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, "My ummah will come to me at the hawd, and I will be keeping the rest of the people away from it, just as a man keeps the camels of other people away from his own camels." They said, "O Prophet of Allah, will you not recognize us?" Meaning, why will you not let us come? He said, "Yes, you will have a sign that no one else will have. You will come with white faces and limbs from the traces of wudu." But yet the Prophet ﷺ will not let them reach the hawd. He will not let them drink from the hawd. "But a group of you will be prevented from coming to me, and they will not reach me. I will say, 'O Lord, these are from among my companions.' Then angels will come and say, 'Do you know what they did after you were gone?'" After the hawd, after the believers will drink from it, and the munafiqeen, they are prevented from it, what will happen? Another test. Imtihanul al-mu'mineen. Another test of the believers. And this is one of the final tests. And what is this test? That we learn that in this place, an announcement will be made. What is that announcement? That it will be said, "Let every nation follow that which it used to worship." So what will happen? Whoever, because earlier also, the mushrikeen, those who used to worship idols, they will go straight to hellfire. But at this point, what will happen is that there will remain many people who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but along with the worship of Allah, what did they do? They worshipped others. So, in this gathering, who will remain now? There will remain the people of the book. There will remain the believers, as well as the hypocrites. In hadith we learn, when the day of resurrection comes, a mu'adhin will call out, "Let every nation follow that which it used to worship." There will be no one left who used to worship idols, but they will all fall into the fire until there is no one left except those who used to worship Allah, righteous and immoral alike, and what is left of the people of the book. The Yahud will be called, and it will be said to them, "What did you used to worship?" And they will say, "We used to worship Uzayr, the son of Allah." It will be said to them, "You have lied, for Allah has not taken a wife or a son. What do you want?" They will say, "We are thirsty, O Lord. Give us to drink." It will be said to them, "Why don't you go and drink there?" They will be taken into hellfire. The Christians will be called, and it will be said to them, "What did you used to worship?" They will say, "We used to worship Isa, alayhi salam." It will be said to them, "You have lied, for Allah has not taken a wife or son. What do you want?" They will say, "We are thirsty, O Lord. Give us to drink." It will be said to them, "Why don't you go and drink there?" And they will be sent to the hellfire. And then who will remain? The believers and the hypocrites. What will happen? We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to them. And Allah will say to them, "Who are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why are you here? Every nation is following that which they used to worship. So why are you here?" They will say, "O Lord, we kept away from the people in the world at the time when we needed them the most. And we did not go with them." Why? "For your sake. And so we are waiting here for Allah. We are waiting here for our Lord." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, "I am your Lord." But at that time, the people will not be able to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because earlier, when they had seen Him at Hisab, they had seen Him in a different way. And here, they will not be able to recognize Him immediately. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose His shin. And the believers will recognize Allah by His shin. And instantly they will fall into sujood. However, the munafiqeen, they will not be able to fall into sujood. Rather, their back will become like one solid piece. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They will not be able to fall prostrate. So then who will remain? The believers. And who will they follow? Their Lord. The believers will now follow their Lord. And where will they be taken? To the Sirat. The munafiqeen, they will also try to come. However, darkness will fall. There will be darkness. And each person will be given his own light, so that he can cross the bridge. And with this darkness and light being limited to the person, you know, who has been granted that light, instantly the munafiqeen will be separated. But still munafiqeen will try to take benefit from the light of the believers. Then what will happen? They will be told, قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go back to where you came from and get some light from there. But they will try to continue with the believers. What will happen? فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ. A wall will be placed. So the hypocrites, basically, they will try, they will attempt to cross the bridge, but they will not be able to because of the darkness and because of this barrier that will be placed. So they will fall into hellfire, the lowest level of hellfire, الدرك الأسفل. After this, the believers, when they will be on the Sirat, the Sirat, the bridge is placed over hell. And this bridge is slippery. It has iron hooks like the thorns of Sa'dan, finer than hair, sharper than sword. And these hooks, ready to snatch those who neglect their amana and who neglect rahim. The believers will be given light, and this light, for some people, it will be like a mountain. For others, it will be like a tall tree. And for others, it will be as little as just a light on their toe. That will be flickering. Likewise, people will be given their speeds. Speeds and light according to their deeds. Some people will cross like a flash of lightning, and others will cross the bridge like flying birds. Others will cross the bridge like running camels. Some will cross safely, and others will make it, but they will be injured. Some will fall into hell. Many, many will fall into hell, just like moths. And the fire, an-nar, which is below the sirat, what is it? It is the abode of the kuffar, the abode of the munafiqeen, and those mu'mineen who disobeyed their Lord. People will be taken into hellfire in different ways. Some will be pushed, some will be taken in groups, some will be dragged on their faces, and some will fall from the sirat. Hellfire has 7 gates, and on these gates are keepers. Hellfire will rage and it will roar at those entering it, at those crossing it. Its fire is 70 times stronger and hotter than the fire of the world. The disbeliever, his size will be increased, his body will be enlarged in hellfire. So much so that there will be a distance of 3 days' journey between his 2 shoulders. Bodies will expand and each tooth will be like the size of Mount Uhud. Skin will be thickened. Punishment upon punishment. Boiling hot water that will cut up the intestines. Food will be of zaqoom, blood and pus. The lightest punishment will be of the one beneath whose feet sparks will be put. And as a result of those sparks, his brain will boil. The depth of hell is a journey of 70 years. Its fuel is people and stones. Its wind is hot and poisonous. Its shadow is black, hot smoke. It will consume everything. It will leave nothing. It will spare nothing. It will consume the skins and reach the bones. It will rise up to the heart. Its fire will surround and cover from above and from below. We learn in a hadith that at one time hell complained to its Lord and it said, "O my Lord, some parts of me have consumed others." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it to exhale twice, once in the winter and once in the summer. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You find extreme heat in summer and you find extreme cold in the winter." From every 1,000 people, 999 will go to hell. Clothing will be a fire, and the various punishments, one after the other, will be inflicted upon its inhabitants. Chains, fetters, hammers, hamim, ghassaq, sadid, muhl. Those who cross the bridge safely, the sirat, and don't fall into the fire, they will reach the qantara, the bridge to Jannah. And what is this bridge to Jannah? This bridge is between Jannah and fire. And here, qisas shall happen. What kind of qisas? There are 2 opinions concerning this. Some have said that this qisas will be of the disputes that believers had with one another. So even if it was one believer oppressing another believer, one believer hurting another believer, this qisas will take place. And some interpreted the hadith of the greatest bankrupt. You remember the hadith of the greatest bankrupt? A person who will arrive with a whole lot of good deeds, ready to enter Jannah. But what will happen? Qisas will take place. So he will be sent back to the hellfire. He crossed the bridge, the sirat, but he will be sent back to the fire of hell. And others said that this qisas will not be of actions of words. Rather, it will be of cleaning the hearts. Disputes will be resolved, meaning hearts will be cleaned. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. And it is over here that the Ashabul A'raf will be, the people of A'raf. Because A'raf heights where? Between Jannah and Nar. So people will cross the hellfire, but they will not yet be allowed to enter Jannah. They will be standing, they will be waiting to be admitted into Jannah. And where is this? Qantara. So this is where the Ashabul A'raf will also be. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ shall intercede. And others will also be allowed to intercede. Who? The rest of the Prophets the righteous, the Huffaz, the Shuhada will be allowed to intercede. For who? For those who have fallen into hellfire, that they be taken out. Or for those who are now meant to go to hellfire. Why? Because of this qisas that took place. Why will they intercede for them? That they are not sent to the hellfire. But remember that just because intercession will take place doesn't mean that it will be accepted. Because remember that there are two kinds of intercessions. One kind of intercession is batila, that which is false, which is in vain. Meaning, which is completely invalid. It will not occur. What kind of shafa'ah is this? The shafa'ah that the mushrikun believe in. That they say that we worship these idols, or we pray to these beings. Why? So that they will intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. However, this shafa'ah will not take place. Why? Because no one will intercede for a mushrik. فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. The intercession of the intercessors will not benefit them. The second type of intercession is sahiha, that which is valid, that which is true, that which is correct, that which will take place. But remember that it has certain conditions. The first condition is that Allah should be pleased with the shafir, meaning the person who is trying to intercede, who will want to intercede, Allah is actually pleased with them. Allah allows them that, okay, you may intercede. Sometimes people think that a person who is lying in the grave, they will intercede for them. Or just because they will sacrifice something on behalf of a righteous person from the past, they will please with them. How do you know what their status is in the sight of Allah? How do we know? The first condition is that Allah should be pleased with the shafir. The second condition is that Allah should be pleased with the mashfu' lahu, meaning the one for whom intercession is being done. So for example, once the Prophet ﷺ was asked that how can we get your shafa'ah? How can we be worthy of your intercession? And he said, the one who says, La ilaha illallah, with his heart. With his heart. Honestly, he says it. For him, my intercession will be valid. And the third condition is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows even, إِذْن مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Allah allows that that intercession should take place. So remember that those believers who have fallen into hell, or at this point, or who are being sent to hell, yes, intercession may benefit them. But it will only benefit them if Allah wants, if Allah allows. At the gate of paradise is a river. Because once people will cross the bridge, the Qantara, they will arrive at the gate of Jannah. At the gate of Jannah is a river. And what is this river? Nahrul Hayat. The river of life. The water of life. And those who will be brought out from hellfire will be washed over here. So they will grow and they will glow. And when they will be dressed and fragrance will be applied on them, then they will be allowed to enter Jannah. What is Jannah? Al-Jannah. The home of the believers. عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Its width is like that of the sky and the earth. Jannah that is built with bricks of gold and silver. Its mortar is of musk. Pearls and corals adorn it. Pearls and corals light it. Its soil is of saffron. Its pebbles are of rubies. Jannah has 8 gates. 8 gates. How many gates does hell have? 7. And how many gates does Jannah have? 8. Allah's mercy is greater than His anger. The width of each gate of Jannah is a distance of 3 days. Each gate is vast. And the Prophet ﷺ will be the first one to knock on the gate of Jannah, requesting that it be opened. And he will be the first to enter. Jannah has 100 levels. According to others, it has as many levels as the number of verses in the Quran. And the distance between each level is like the distance between the earth and the sky. As people will enter Jannah, each person will know exactly where his home is. The highest Jannah is Jannatul Firdaus, from where the rivers of Jannah gush forth. The ceiling of Jannah is the Arsh of Allah. Its rivers and streams will flow under the control of its inhabitants. It has rivers of honey, it has rivers of milk, it has rivers of clear water, and it has rivers of delicious khamr. It has springs, springs of kafur, springs of tasneem, that the people will mix with their water before drinking it. Jannah will have food, food that is ever prepared, always ready to eat, near and within reach. Jannah has trees, trees that are fruitful, trees that are shade-giving. Ibrahim a.s. said to the Prophet ﷺ on the night journey, that tell your ummah, paradise is a place whose soil is good. Paradise is a place whose water is sweet. But it is an empty plain, which will be planted by Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The homes in Jannah will be like hollow pearls, as wide, as vast, as 7 miles from inside. 7 miles. The width, the space within the homes, the very tents in paradise. Its inhabitants, the people of Jannah, how will they be? Clean and beautiful, free from impurities, forever young, hair free. And what's the age? 33 years. Their clothes shall never wear out. They will never have to spit. They will never have to blow their nose. They will never have to defecate. They will never have to urinate. They will be adorned with their clothes and jewels. Their sweat will smell like musk. There will be combs of gold and silver to style their hair with. The people of Jannah, beautiful. The women will be beautiful, young in body, young in age, elegant and tender. And every wish of the inhabitants of Jannah shall be fulfilled. Every wish. Once a man brought a she-camel to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, this is for the sake of Allah. I give this, fi sabilillah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you will have 700 of these in Jannah. So a person can have any animal even that he wants in Jannah. The first to enter Jannah will be the prophets. First of all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the rest of the prophets. Next will follow the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as people will enter Jannah, and as they will see its delights, its vastness, its beauty, its comforts, and as they will be greeted when they will enter Jannah, they will say, وَقَالُوا أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الْحَزَنِ. All praise to Allah who has taken away all grief from us, all worries from us. The person to get the smallest Jannah will wish for what he will desire, and he will be given 10 times its like. There will be servants in Jannah. Servants like youthful boys that are like scattered pearls. The joys, the pleasures of Jannah, eternal, never ending. No impurities in Jannah and no disappointments in Jannah. They will glorify Allah morning and evening. They will do tasbih and tahmeed like they breathe now. The greatest blessing in Jannah shall be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest delight will be of seeing Allah and gaining His approval for eternity. On entering Jannah, the first meal, the first food that the people will have, what is it? It will be a piece of fish liver, a delicacy, not ordinary food. And we learn that an ox will be slaughtered. An ox, an animal that used to graze on the edges, on the sides of Jannah. And the people will be given to drink from a spring, salsabil. And then each can eat whatever that he desires, whatever that he will wish. They shall forever enjoy, not needing to sleep, because there is no fatigue, no exhaustion. Forever happy, forever entertained, never bored. Their seats, their couches made of gold, adorned with precious stones. They will recline on cushions, facing one another, chatting, chilling. They will talk amongst themselves about old times, past events, and the days of dunya. Every Friday in Jannah will be a fest. There will be a market. The wind of musk will blow that will penetrate their faces and their clothes. And so they will become even more beautiful. They will increase in their beauty on Yawm al-Mazid. And on this day, they will also meet Allah, meaning the day of Friday. Every Friday will be a festive day. It will be announced to the people of paradise, you shall remain healthy. You shall never become sick. You shall remain alive. You shall never age. You shall remain in comfort. You shall never suffer. They will receive Allah's rida, His ridwan, His pleasure, and they will be able to see Allah. When they will enter Jannah, the hijab shall be removed. Allah will reveal Himself. He will remove the veil. In a valley, there will be a special appointment where the people of Jannah will see Allah. They will speak to Allah. He will reaffirm His pleasure for them, and He will grant them even more blessings, even more reward. As a result, the people of Jannah will return increasingly happy and increasingly beautiful. At this point, hell will be made to shrink, while Jannah will be filled with new creation. Death will be slaughtered. At the conclusion of Hisab, death will be brought in the form of a horned ram. Meaning when people of Jannah are in Jannah, people of hell are in hell, those who are to be brought out of hell are taken out of hell, admitted into paradise. When every person has reached his destination, what will happen? Death will be brought in the form of a horned ram. And it will be placed on the wall between Jannah and hell. And it will be slaughtered. And to each it will be said, you shall forever stay here. O people of Jannah, you shall forever stay here. Death will not reach you. And O people of hell, you shall forever remain here. Death will not reach you. There is no death. It is now forever. So this is a final journey. This is the final destination. Either Jannah or Nar. Today, what are we doing? We are traveling. This is not our home. We are on a journey. And this part of the journey, ad-dunya, the world, which is just one block, by the way, what is it for the purpose of preparation? This is not a home of settlement. The home of settlement is Jannah. Ad-dunya, the world, is for preparation. So the more we can prepare, the better it is for us. Because this life is not for rest. Where is rest? In Jannah. Where is rest? In the grave, if a person has prepared now. So sacrifice today's comfort, today's pleasure, today's rest for eternal rest and for eternal pleasure and comfort. Any questions that you have about this? About this map? Yes. Initially, the hypocrites are not visible. Okay? But later on, you see where, up until the time of Mizan. Okay? But remember that, up until now, through Barth, through Shafa'ah, Hisab, Tatayyur al-Suhuf, each person will be facing either trials and difficulties, or he will be in comfort. Alright? Depending on his iman and depending on his deeds. Like for example, I mentioned to you earlier, that how people will be in the plain of Hashr. Right? That some people, they'll be punished over there. They'll be embarrassed over there. Right? The hypocrites are here also. Alright? And each person, he will go through the Hisab, the Hashr, according to his deeds. Like for example, we learn that the believers also, they will come how? Ghur muhajjalin, with the signs of wudu, evident. Those who create ease for people now, Allah will create ease for them in the plain of Hashr. Those who relieve the distress of other people now, Allah will relieve distress from them where? In the plain of Hashr. The mu'adhin, the person who gives the adhan, his neck will be the longest. So the mu'adhinun will be the tallest people in the plain of Hashr. And those who grow old in Islam, their grey hair will be a source of light for them. A source of honor for them in the plain of Hashr. So remember that in the plain of Hashr, all people are present. And Hashr is where? After Barth. Where this Shafa'ah will be, where Hisab will be, where Tatayyur al-Suhuf will be, where Mizan will be. This is all Hashr. Alright? And each person will be how? According to his deeds. Some under the shade. And some drowning in their sweat. Some being honored and some being humiliated. Right? So this is why there is no separate arrow for the hypocrites. Now over here you see that the arrow which is for the disbelievers, going from An-Nafkh Fisul to Barth and then straight to Mizan. Why this has been skipped is because according to some scholars, the kuffar, their hisab will not be done. Alright? But remember that other scholars, they disagreed. They said that yes, hisab will be done. However, how will it be? Just for the purpose of reproach. That they'll be made to see their sins. Their good deeds will be destroyed, cancelled out. And then directly taken to the mizan and then from there to the hellfire. Okay, is it clear? Any other question that you have? What's happening? Are they going through the hell or are they skipping it? Skipping it, right? Because what do we learn from the hadith? What will happen to some people who will arrive there? They will not be allowed. What will be said to them? Let's go. Let's go where? To hellfire. So they will be taken on that journey to the hellfire. Meaning they won't be allowed to drink from the hold. Any other clarification that you need? Yes.
It would come from Yemen and would drag the people until to the land of Syria, the land of Hashd.
Yeah.
But also in the day of the judgment, we have a land of gathering. Is it the same or different?
Yeah. The thing is that in the Quran we learn, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضُ. Now obviously people are on this earth. Their bodies will come out of this earth. They will be resurrected from this earth. Right? Now, and we learn that Jahannam will be brought. Jannah will be brought near. وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. Right? And Jahannam will also be brought near. So how exactly each will be? Allahu A'lam. But this earth, it will be pounded and flattened. And we learn that it will be Arafat or it will be Asham. But think about the population of the people. How many are they? You think they can all fit in Arafat? No, they cannot. Can they all fit in Asham? No, they cannot. If it's the entire mankind, in fact, not just mankind, but the entire creation. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Even all the animals. Then the earth will be flattened. And all people will be present over there. Scattered through the Hashr. Through the gathering of the Hashr. Clear? Any other clarification or question that is needed? Now, with regards to hellfire, many people think that if a person goes into hellfire, well, there is shafa'a, they can be taken out. But is it a place worth going? You remember the description of hellfire? How is it? Raging and roaring. People inside will be locked. Fire reaching up to the hearts. Skins being burnt. The body size enlarged, expanded. Even one glimpse of the hellfire is enough as torture. Entering the hellfire, even for a few moments, is big torture. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge against the hellfire, even before going to bed, morning and evening, at the end of every prayer. O Allah, save us from the punishment of the fire. Because what is it? إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. It is utter humiliation, utter disgrace. Because even when people will be taken out of the hellfire because of shafa'a or because of Allah's mercy upon them and their bodies will be made to grow, then they will be admitted into Jannah. What will happen? People will call them Jahannamiyun. Isn't that an embarrassment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that no, don't call them Jahannamiyun. What are they? They are Utaqa'ur Rahman. They are those who were set free by the Most Merciful, by Al-Jabbar. The fact is that we don't take the matter of hellfire seriously. We think hellfire is only for the mushrikeen. It is only for the disbelievers. And when we learn about certain actions because of which a person will go to hellfire, we think, yeah, Allah will forgive me. But we learn from the Quran and Sunnah about certain actions that will cause a person to enter the hellfire. An-nar, fire. What are those actions? And this is a reminder for all of us that we must examine ourselves, check ourselves, that what are we doing? Are we doing certain things carelessly without even thinking? And we think that, yeah, we will survive. It'll be fine. How do we know? Crossing the bridge and one thorn comes and pulls us down because of our own negligence, because of our own mistakes, because we considered them light. In the Quran, we learn that the people who continuously compromise on their religion, despite having the means to select a different option, what will happen to them? مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. But yet, many times when we have several options, what do we tell ourselves? It's okay. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. What were you doing? The angels will say to them at the time of death. قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. An excuse. We were oppressed. We didn't have a choice. They did have a choice. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. The earth of Allah, was it not wasi'a? Was it not vast enough? فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Their abode will be hell. Judging unjustly. In hadith we learn that as for the one who knows the truth but is unjust in his judgment, he will be in hell. The one who knows the truth, yet he is unjust, he is biased, he is unfair in his judgment, where will he be? He will be in hell. Lying about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Kibr, arrogance. I am better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, pride is my cloak and greatness is my robe. Whoever competes with me in respect of either of them, I shall admit him to fire. Consuming riba. It's not just haram. It's an action that will cause a person to enter hellfire. Consuming riba. وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Whoever returns, meaning whoever repeats taking riba, again and again he's indulging in riba. Persists on taking riba, despite knowing that it is forbidden. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Taking other people's property unjustly. Consuming the orphan's wealth. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Inclining towards those who do wrong. Someone is wrong. Someone is doing shirk. Someone is clearly upon falsehood, but inclining towards them, siding with them, leaning towards them, agreeing with them. لَا تَرْكُنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Women that are dressed, but yet appear to be naked. Women that walk with an enticing gait, whose heads look like the humps of camels. Where will they be? They are from amongst the people of the fire. Torturing a living being. This is also something that will take a person to hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ once mentioned that how he saw a woman being tortured in hellfire. Why? Because she had a cat that she tied up, never gave it food, until the cat starved to death. So what will happen? That cat will torture it in hellfire. Insincerity in seeking knowledge. Apparently a good action, but insincere. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever seeks knowledge for a reason other than the sake of Allah, let him take his place in hell. It doesn't matter how much knowledge a person has gained. If the niyyah was insincere, then that person is going to fall in hell. Cutting trees that provide shade. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever cuts down shade trees, meaning that animals use, that people use in order to take shade in, Allah will cast him into hell by his head. Committing suicide. That is something that will take a person to hell. The one who stabs himself will go on stabbing himself in hellfire. Many, many more actions. But the thing is that when we learn about something that is forbidden, something that we have been told to keep away from, realize that if we put our hand in it, we are putting our hand in hellfire. we're reaching out for hellfire. We don't consider haram to be an action that will take us to hellfire if we do it. We think of haram as in the ruling is haram. It's technically haram. It's just fiqh. It's difference of opinion. That's all, you know, we think about these things. We don't realize the reality of hellfire. How to save yourself from hellfire? Leave these actions. Do tawbah over what was done. Do istighfar over what was committed. Increase in hasanat, deeds that will shield against the hellfire. Love Allah the most. In hadith we learn, by Allah, Allah will never throw the one who loves Allah and whom He loves into the hellfire. By Allah, Allah will never throw one who loves Him and whom He loves into the hellfire. Fast. Fasting is a shield. Jannah. Get your feet dusty in the way of Allah. مَنْ اِغْبَرَّتْ قَدَمَاهُ. The one whose feet get dirty. Whose feet get dirty. In the way of Allah, those feet shall never be touched by the fire. وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقْ وَالنَّارُ حَقْ. Both are haqq. One we want and one we want to avoid. But it cannot happen by mere wishes. It happens how? With actions, with effort. Anything you'd like to say?
About the insincerity in learning knowledge. So for instance, if someone is memorizing Quran or learning Quran, so that person thinks that he or she is doing it to have it as a hujjah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have learned your book. Is this because they are learning it for themselves, to save themselves? So is it insincerity in your niyyah?
No. Essentially it is, again, for the sake of Allah. Right? Why is it that a person wants to do something good, learn something, in order to protect themselves from the fire?
Yes.
In order to get Jannah.
Yes.
In order to earn Allah's pleasure.
That's true.
So this niyyah is correct.
Okay. Jazakallah khair.
However, a person must not gain knowledge just to compete with others, and just to impress others, and just to show his, you know, high position over others. This is where problem comes. And likewise, gaining knowledge in order to argue with others, this is insincerity in seeking knowledge. Or just for the purpose of increasing in one's status, in one's position, in one's authority, that then people will respect me, and then people will look up to me, and then they will, you know, give honor to me. This is insincerity. And the one who seeks knowledge, even if it's sacred knowledge, knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah for a reason other than the sake of Allah, then let him take his place in hell.
On the same line, if there's a group who's doing a work of Allah, and people start to join, or somebody wants to join, just to be with the group, would that be counted as insincerity?
Why? The question is, why is it that a person wants to participate in a good cause? What's the reason? Is it just to have good company, so that a person is busy and he can enjoy and have fun and pass one day after the other? Or is it so that good company, so that they are influenced and they can influence and they learn and they are motivated? Why? Ultimately to gain the pleasure of Allah. Then that is a correct niyyah.
Okay.
A friend of mine was recently telling me that the ability to learn and to apply, to do the azkars, the duas, and the amal, is in itself rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's actually honoring us by giving us the knowledge. He Himself gives it to us, and then inshallah we use it for Him. So the fact that we got the knowledge after striving for it is all on its own, it's a blessing. Because not everybody who wants to get the knowledge can get it even. And the other thing I was going to mention was, you were mentioning about how all the people will go to Adam alayhi salam and then Nuh alayhi salam in order like that. And I was just reflecting on how, subhanAllah, each Nabi will be thinking of what wrong they did themselves.
Yes.
Like not even pointing at the other Nabi. like Adam and Assam did, you know, which is, you know, some small sin. But he's not even thinking about the other Nabis. He's only thinking, even he is only thinking about himself.
Yes.
So then who are we, like, to think that, you know, yes, we didn't do any sins?
And who are they? They are prophets of Allah. And if they made a mistake, they were forgiven. Adam alayhi salam, he will remember his mistake of eating the fruit of the tree. But was he not forgiven for that? Did he not repent from it? But yet he will be afraid. Too afraid to even ask Allah to begin the judgment. Musa alayhi salam, he committed murder by accident. However, what happened? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. The Qur'an is an evidence that Allah forgave him for that. But still, Musa alayhi salam will be afraid. I mean, admitting your mistake, that even though they were told, you are forgiven, but still, they realized the severity of the mistake, not because the mistake was huge, because it was made against who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine if the prophets will be saying, nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Don't ask me, don't tell me, go to somebody else. Then what about the rest of the people? How many mistakes have we made? Ibrahim alayhi salam will mention his lies. However, what kind of lies were they? I mean, those lies are permissible. But still, he will be afraid. He will be afraid. Isa alayhi salam, he will not mention any sin of his, any mistake of his. But still, he will be afraid. He will say, nafsi, nafsi, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a real day. It's not going to be a dream. People will not go through it in a dream. No. People will go through it in reality, step after step after step. And each person's journey will be different, depending on how he lived, what he did, what he brought with himself. And if you think about it, ad-dunya, the world, it's just one block. And you see what comes after that? But yet, all of our focus is directed to what? The dunya. Our worries, our concerns are about what? This dunya. In the morning we're busy with this dunya, in the evening we're busy with the dunya. In our hearts we don't remember Allah. What are we doing? This dunya that we are in, it's going to stay behind. What comes with us on this journey is nothing from this dunya. What comes? What will come on this journey? Deeds. والباقيات الصالحات. Good deeds shall accompany a person through this long journey, through this most difficult and intense journey. And no one can escape this journey. No one can avoid it. No one can run away from it. Yes.
When I was telling somebody, like people who do good deeds, like the non-Muslims, or even sometimes our Muslims, and they do it for the, like they have, if you go to hospitals now recently, I don't know if you noticed that all of them have the people who have donated, their names are there, their pictures are there, and sometimes some Muslim people too. And I was telling somebody like, in a gathering, and I said, you know that we are not supposed, like all the good deeds you do has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a non-Muslim does it, all like building hospitals or whatever they do, the charitable work they do, it's all, they get, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, I give it to them, the benefit in the dunya.
Yeah.
And they will not be rewarded in the akhirah. And that
قليلاً
person,
نُمَتِّرْهُمْ قَلِيلًا.
That person got very upset when he said, you are not the judge, why are you saying that? I said, but it, Allah says that in the Quran, if they're not doing it for Allah, they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can they even reach Jannah?
And you see, the Muslim ummah, last in the world, however first in the hereafter. Why first in the hereafter? Because they're supposed to be the leaders. Leading. And this is where we need to check ourselves. Are we truly leading? Are we really leading? Meaning people in Iman, telling them, because we think it's okay. People will, you know, somehow they'll survive. They'll make it. You never know. Allah will just forgive them. But what about this big mizan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place, and this hisab that will happen, and the scrolls that will be given? What about the fire that has been u'iddat, it has been prepared? And the bridge that will be placed. All of this in vain? Do whatever you want and just get into Jannah? No. All of this is not in vain. If dunya is not in vain, the akhirah also is not in vain. It is real.
At the time of the Kanpara, when people will be given permission to interstate, like, foreign people also,
at that time, do people will have the sense of like, if I want to intercede for my son or for my, like, will people remember their relationships?
Yes, I mean, at Qantara, this qisas that will happen, and then people will enter Jannah. Intercession will take place in Jannah also, meaning the people of Jannah will also intercede. They will also ask Allah to please let some people out of the hellfire, when they will see one another.
So they will be able to recognize their relationships of dunya.
Yes, they will be, especially in Jannah. All right, and especially at the place of qisas, because obviously, if the hearts are being cleaned, memories are fresh, despite the passage of time. Feelings are still there.
Just the people will have memories of the relations. So if a mother can know the son is in, or the children can know the parents are in hell,
yeah,
and they're not able to intercede, so the pain or the suffering will be there. Or
then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that pain. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if there is a person, a relative, close relative, that is in hellfire, like, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his uncle Abu Talib, he will be in hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be given this special permission to intercede for Abu Talib on the Day of Judgment. This is in Bukhari. Because of his intercession, the punishment for Abu Talib will be reduced. Not that he will be taken out of hellfire, but it will be reduced. Now if you think about it, a person is in Jannah, but his relative is in hellfire. Will that not cause him distress? Will it not cause him worry? Jannah is Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that distress, will remove that worry. Because if a person lives with that pain, with that agony, then he cannot be at peace. And remember that in Jannah, every wish will be fulfilled, in the sense that any relative or any relationship that a person wishes to have, he can have it. In the sense, like, for example, we learned that new creation will be produced. So if a person feels that, oh, none of my family members have made it, I was the only Muslim from my family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a family. He will not be alone. And in Jannah also, what will happen? That when people, family members are scattered through the different levels of Jannah, they will be brought together in one level. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever says, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. When? In the morning and the evening. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. I am pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my messenger. And I am pleased with Islam as my religion. Whoever says this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will take him to Jannah by hand. Whoever says this, how? With his heart. Sincerely and honestly. Without any hesitation. And wholeheartedly. Because there may be matters of the deen, matters of the akhirah, that perhaps we find difficult to understand. But still, tell yourself, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. Somebody raise their hand? Yes.
When we hear about the Day of the Judgment, so our iman will go up, and then we'll go to the world in the night, and then we will forget. So how you keep your heart, you know, the level of your iman, your heart, always you remember, as if the nar and the fire displayed in front of you.
When does a person's iman increase? Like, for example, right now, if you studied a little bit about Jannah, and I say a little bit about the Day of Judgment, about the hellfire, did that cause your iman to increase? Okay. So, alhamdulillah. So, where is this mentioned? Where is this mentioned, all of this? In the Qur'an. In the Sunnah. So read the Qur'an. Reflect on it. Don't just read to complete a page or to complete the surah. Reflect on the meanings. Pause. Make dua. Cry. Smile. Ask Allah. And this is what will maintain your faith. Because the source of iman is what? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. So the more a person holds on to it, the more a person reviews it, the more a person strengthens his connection with the Qur'an, with the book of Allah, the rope of Allah, his iman will rise. It will definitely grow. It will definitely increase.
You depend on your good deed alone. So many actions and so many things. And it's such a long day. It's such a long process. Sometimes we are at a function that is very long. Even our own convocation, we think that it's very long and, you know, it should finish and we should have treat and go home. So it's beyond imagination how long this day is, and there's so many stops in it. Now you go there, now you can never be sure until you are there.
Yes.
Where you're destined.
I mean, imagine if from the Qantara, some people will be sent back to the hellfire. Yeah. What guarantee does a person have?
Exactly.
You know, this is why it is said that even if you have your one foot in, don't stop there. Don't think you're in until your second foot is in.
Just thinking that we belittle our sins and our wrongdoings and our mistakes, things that were, they will never lead us into the hellfire. And we think less of the azkar and the remembrance of Allah will actually help us in this. Like a small azkar that will fill the nizam. We usually belittle those.
Yes.
You know, we don't think much of the sin.
Very true. That we belittle sins and we think we'll be fine. But we see that because of these sins, a person will be tortured in the grave. A person will face difficulty in the hashr. Hisab will be difficult. The sahifa will be embarrassing to look at. The mizan will be a distress. Imagine, because of the deeds of a person. But unfortunately, we belittle our sins. And the small good deeds that will be very heavy in the hereafter, again, we belittle them. We don't give importance to them.
The sad thing I see is many of these steps that we're looking at, a lot of it has to do with the rights of people. Like the entire qisas will be because we did not do the rights of people. You know, Allah is so forgiving. He will forgive the rights of humans of Him. But of people, He will not forgive.
Yes. That even every step, in fact, because of the neglect in the rights of people and neglect in the rights of Allah, a person will be facing hardship on that day. It's not just about our recitation of the Qur'an or our study of the Qur'an or our fasting. It's also about what we do with others. What we do with others. Just imagine, wrong judgment, biased judgment can take a person to hellfire. This is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever wishes to be pleased by his sahifa, that when he looks at his record of deeds and he becomes happy. Would you like that? That you look at your record and you become happy. فَلْيُكْثِرْ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ Then that person should increase in his istighfar. He should excessively seek forgiveness. Fill your record with istighfar. Because we are human beings, we will make mistakes. And this journey is hard and long. Even the prophets made mistakes. And on the Day of Judgment, they will be afraid because of their mistakes. But istighfar, seek forgiveness, do tawbah. Every sin can be left. Every sin can be repented from. Every behavior can be changed. Every habit can be left. But we should be willing. We should be willing. And the first step to that is istighfar. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, next week we will begin the chapter of Al-Qadr. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.